Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think when you're dealing with corporations, because the base truth is that to ascertain millions and exceptionally like billions of dollars, you have to do crime. You have to hurt people. People have to die, even if it's right. Like inadvertent. So it's like kind of like we're taking back from the people who are siphoning from us. And that's also the reason that I don't feel bad doing it, is because being a black woman is a scam. Like, we are oppressed. Everyone, all they do is steal from us constantly, use us, abuse us, make us do all their work. We uplifting everybody, and who's uplifting us? And sometimes you have to check in with yourself, and I think that works for relationships, for every aspect of your life. Like, if you really want something to happen, take a step back and be like, why do I want this to happen so bad? Is it because I'm unfulfilled in this part of my life? Is it because I feel like I haven't had a break in a long time? Like, or is it because I really want this specific thing? Anywhere I go, I belong there, no matter what that place is.
This is The Secret Lives of Black Women. I'm Sharla.
And I'm Lauren.
And today we're talking scams.
Scams.
Lauren, have you ever scammed anybody?
I can scam confidence in a professional setting, in which I cannot do in my actual life.
That you don't actually have.
That I don't actually have. But in like a work setting, I can be like, oh, yeah, I fucking got this. I'm going to sell this. You're going to give me money. This is a great day. I once had an experience on set in which a funder was coming, and I was like, look at all these things. I'm such a boss. Everyone's having such a great time. And then I literally got in my car and just, like, cried. And all the dudes in the grip truck were like, this bitch is having a nervous breakdown. And I was like, but I scammed everyone on set who thought that I was fine. Depression.
Mic drop. Depression. Mic drop. I feel the exact same way. I feel like my scams come in when I'm put on the spot. I don't know what we're talking about, but here I am and we're going to do it. I got a job to like write a movie, and it was like, I'd never written a movie. How did I get this job to write this fucking movie? I've never written a fucking movie.
I got this. You can't tell me nothing. I need to figure out how to like incorporate that confidence.
That level of scam confidence.
A, being reality. B, just in my other, in my personal life.
I want to get it into my DNA because I feel like that's like survival scams. You know what I mean? Like when you need a job, you need to survive. You need to be on. You know, you can't be out here wallowing and showing your depressing face when you're in front of all these white people. This like a wall of white people about to give you a job. So you just like have to be on. But like otherwise in the rest of my life, I'm just like, do I have this level of scamming me? I don't think so.
Well, we are going to learn about how to hopefully ascertain that level from the scam goddess herself. Y'all, Lacey Mosley is in the building today. Lacey is a self-described actress, comedian, and scammer. She's from Dallas, Texas, and a part of the Black Women Improv team called Two Live Crew that performs in LA. And you may also know her from her podcast, Scam Goddess, where she brings on her comedian friends to talk about the best frauds and scams that have happened in the past and are happening right now.
So I really wanted to talk to Lacey because as a scam goddess, I just feel like scams are usually reserved for white men and the powerful. And I'm really excited to talk to a black woman who's scamming.
I also feel like those scams are tied to the systematic oppression of a lot of people. And the scams that we'll be talking about with Lacey are like funny and for your personal uplifting, but without hurting other people.
Yes,
and
these are harmless scams.
These are harmless scams. Yes. Whereas I feel like a lot of like white men in power scams are just ruining lives.
Right, right. I mean, slavery was a giant scam, and
exactly.
That really ruined a lot. This is not that.
This is not that.
Yeah.
But we're going to learn about how to do harmless scams to improve your life. let's just get to the conversation. Let's talk to Lacey. I want to up my scam knowledge.
Yeah, me too. Let's do it. Ladies and gentlemen, Lacey Mosley.
How do you feel when people call you a scam goddess?
I love it.
You love it?
I love it. It was coined on a podcast called The Daily Zeitgeist like 3 or 4 years ago.
Man.
I did that podcast a lot. And so I was always really interested in scams and just like defrauding people. And so that became the brand. I love it.
I love it. It's so, I love scams. And your podcast is so funny.
Oh, thank
it's
you.
Super funny.
So funny.
Yeah.
When did you first realize you were a scammer?
Oh, man. Probably pretty young. Maybe 5 years old. This was dumb. I don't even know if I can call this a scam. Maybe I was just a thief. But my mom used to always get these little red bubblegum candies when I was a kid, when I was like 5. And they were like hard on the outside and then like sweet on the inside. And my mom is stingy as fuck. Like, she'd always be like, don't touch my candy. Like, you can't have none. Like, my mom does not like to share it to this day. She's like, it's so many cups in there. Go get y'all's own juice. Like, go get away from me. So she wouldn't want me to eat them. So I would eat them and then I would swallow the wrapper so there was no evidence. Which is insane. Which is truly insane.
I'll give to 5-year-olds though. 5-year-olds are natural scammers.
Right.
Like, you've never been talked at more than by a 5-year-old. Like, little kids can talk me into anything.
And that's the whole point. And then as I got older, like when I got to college, I really realized I was a scammer. Cause my girlfriends are all very beautiful. And we would always like go on vacations to different cities, like, you know, Miami, LA, Mexico, wherever in college. And wherever we go, we just like, we wouldn't pay for food. We wouldn't pay for lodging. We wouldn't. And I wasn't even giving them no ass. Like, well, I'm saying free, like free. Just because we would meet people and they'd be like, come be around us. Or we would hang out with people at certain strategic moments, like in midday when it was almost about to be lunch. And they'd be like, oh, let's go back to the hotel. We'd be like, oh, yeah. And then we go back to the hotel, crack open that room service and be like, so we hungry. They'd be like, yeah, get whatever you want. And that happened for a few years. And like sometimes we wouldn't be able to get into the clubs. So we'd have to like lie and sneak in. There was one time during All-Star weekend where there was like a super exclusive VIP area somewhere and they would not let us in. Like, it didn't matter if you were cute. Like, they had all these celebrities in there. It didn't matter. So I found some cups sitting like nearby. And for some reason that night, like, we were all wearing black dresses. So I was like, hey, y'all, just here, hold these cups up over your head and then we're going to act like we working here. So we just held the cups above our head like, oh, we got to get to the bottle service. Excuse me. And they let us through.
This is like true scams.
Yeah.
How have you incorporated your power of the scam into your move to LA and your success?
Ooh.
I think
it's a talent. It's not just to be a scammer. Really, it's to be really smart and talented.
You also
have to be really beautiful. I feel like
I think it helps to be beautiful, but does. I also think like you have to be calm, because like whenever I know I'm scamming, like I get two in my head, mm-hmm. and I wear it on my face.
Oh,
I'm not
a
good liar. I'm not good at it.
Whereas you were like, I'm doing improv when I'm in this club, being like, put them over your head.
Right. It's also kind of fun just to like get over on people a little bit. It's very fun. I mean, I don't do it to people who are less fortunate or broke or whatever, but like large institutions, whatever.
Mother Teresa scammer.
Yes, mm-hmm. I am. Yeah. Very much so. I think it's also like, I got into scamming because I really enjoyed the confidence of people who scam.
Yes, that's
like,
what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And now obviously theirs goes to like a deep like, what is the word? Grandeur. What's it called?
Ideas of grandeur.
Yeah. Or like when you imagine yourself to be just like so, like almost a deep narcissist mm-hmm. or sociopathic mm-hmm. level. Like that's where scammers really go.
Yes,
but I do like the base end of that, the opposite end of the spectrum, which is just like being confident and, mm-hmm. and feeling like you belong wherever you go.
So. Yes.
But so scamming has some good life lessons for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it really helps with imposter syndrome, like just feeling like anywhere I go, I belong there, no matter what that place is.
Oh, this is like a perfect mindset for Hollywood.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. But go ahead, Lauren. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say also that mindset is like, can a black woman ever be technically a scammer if you're just getting over a system that's meant to keep you behind?
Exactly. And that's also the reason that I don't feel bad doing it, is because being a black woman is a scam. Like, we are oppressed. Everyone, all they do is steal from us constantly, use us, abuse us, make us do all their work. We uplifting everybody. And who's uplifting us? Nobody.
Okay. But can we also, on the other spectrum of that, say that if you are a beautiful, well-off black woman, can you use that as an excuse to scam?
Absolutely.
Lauren is shaking her head yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that every, like, black person should find any way that we can to scam this fucking country, because why not?
What is a scam, even?
So that's actually kind of like a broad term. So I guess so a generalized definition of scamming would be purporting to have or be something that you don't actually own or someone that you're not actually. So it's just it's using the information that you have to kind of navigate systems and cheat them. You know what I mean? Like, if you find an opening or an opportunity, you take advantage of it. And that, there's levels to that. So, like, one scam could be, like, you go to a place and you know somebody's name is on the list and you're like, oh, I'm with so-and-so and I'm their plus one. You don't even know who they are. You just go in. That's, like, you're just pretending to be somewhere or someone that you're not, to go somewhere you want to go. Then there's also scams like, okay, maybe your mom works at the some company and she issues out all the phones for the company and she issues them out for the employees, but then she always takes two or three and sells them on the street, you know, and makes a little coin that way. Mm. So that is more in the theft market of scams.
There's levels to this.
Yeah.
There's that Robin Hood level scams, though. I like those better.
I think when you're dealing with corporations, because the base truth is that to ascertain millions and exceptionally like billions of dollars, you have to do crime. You have to hurt people. People have to die, even if it's like inadvertent. So it's like kind of like we're taking back from the people who are siphoning from us.
You want to be kind of like a world dominator. This is what I'm gleaning from looking and talking to you. But you seem to not love the idea of doing it at the expense of other people, particularly people that look like you. What is the plan? Do you have a plan to become some sort of, to build an empire and do it kindly, I guess?
Yeah. That's hard, because it's hard not to eventually hurt people when you're building an empire. Like, it just, there's always collateral damage, especially if you get investors or other people a part of it, because then it becomes about revenue and like profit turnover. Like, you got to make coins from Mr. Moneybags and Chad and Winthorpe and shit. You know, they want theirs.
Those guys. Yeah.
So I think it's more about somehow getting in touch with all of these kind of gross, large corporations that already exist and providing something to them that they feel is like marketable or necessary, and then just taking that money to do whatever I want with it.
So is it that you don't believe in taking money from the average person? You rather take money from corporations?
Yeah. From people who have amassed it and hoarded it. Because the average person, like, no, we can't be robbing ourselves. That ain't right.
No, no, no.
Just using your ideas of scam since you were 5 years old, how did you decide that this was going to be your career path, and not just as a scammer, but as, like, an actress and an entertainer, and to elevate your profile outside of your life in Texas?
I always knew that I wanted to act, and I told my parents that as a kid. And so as long as my grades were good, I would go to acting classes and I would perform. And I remember the first acting scam that I went to, which all the acting scams back in the day were at the mall. Like, that was it. It was lit.
Farrakhan model.
Right? You would go to the mall and have no intentions of purchasing anything, honey. And you knew there was going to be somebody at the water cooler like, you could be a star. Or they would be like in the middle of the little center dome where the fountain was at, passing out shit or having a symposium. Yeah, it was Barbizon. It was, for me, it was John Robert Powers. And he was on the radio. So I was listening to the K104 radio, shout out to Dallas, and heard about John Robert Powers. So I was like, Mama, come on, we gotta go to the mall. I gotta become a star. And we went, and we quickly realized it was a scam, just because my mom has always been very up and up on scams. We used to have the Mac Man who would come to our house and sell us Mac makeup. And I always thought this was interesting, because I was like, how are we? I just thought it was some kind of like opulence. I was like, I guess they just bring the Mac to your house. And one day I was like, Mama, whatever happened to the Mac Man? She was like, child, I don't know. They said that he was getting them Mac off them trucks. You had to have known that. But so she's always been very keen with like that kind of stuff. So we went to the mall, John Robert Powers, and they were handing out all these brochures and showing pictures of little actresses that had made it on Disney or wherever else. And of course, they want you to buy all these pictures, and they want you to take all these classes. And I was interested, but I'd already been taking legitimate classes. So I was like, oh, okay, and kind of went home a little crushed about it. But also was inspired, because that's when I realized that acting itself is a scam. Like, it's a scam career. Mm-hmm. There's no clear way to get into it. There's so many barriers of entry. That's the whole reason why when all that Harvey Weinstein shit came out, it was like, why was he meeting all these people in hotels? And it's like, because in acting, you literally don't know what, like, it's not like an office
what's
space.
What's appropriate.
Yeah, yeah, like, if there's I'm going no to interview lines. For Starbucks, you're not going to be like, hey, meet me at the Sofitel. Like, I know we're going to interview in the Starbucks.
Yeah.
But with acting, you don't know.
Yeah.
I've gone to, like, a garage for a job, and I was only there for 20 minutes, and they paid me $5,000.
Whoa!
Whoa!
And then I know that sounds like some other type of acting, but it wasn't. It was improv for some tech company.
Oh, so it's God, like, that
how do you decipher
so
what's real? Oh, it was corny as hell.
I said porny.
Oh, it does sound porny as well. But
yeah.
And murdery. I was like,
murdery.
I sent my friend my address because I was like, damn, bitch, I may not come back. But I love scams so much that I was like, I'm going to dip my toe,
though. Of course.
I'm going to go see. I'm going
to
see.
You have to. But I really think, like, having a scam mentality is so much smarter. It's a smart way to come to Hollywood and navigate, because I think if you're like super innocent and believe the best in people, you're gonna get taken. You're gonna get stolen. Like,
you
truly
will. Especially because being an aspiring actress, which this has really sucked in my dating life, but like when people are like, or aspiring, I'm a working actress, see, I even fucking say it,
you have a Mercedes
truck, they're like what do you do for a living? I always just want to be like, oh, I'm an accountant, just because like when you say actress, then people start being mean to you. They're like, oh, well, what's your day job, or oh, what do you really do, or blah blah blah.
Is that how people talk to actors?
Yeah.
Is that just in LA, or even when you like leave?
I think it's in LA. It's more innocent when I'm in the heartland, whereas it's like, oh, what can I see you in? Which still annoys me too. I'm like, I'm right here. But here it's more incredulous because it is like that, oh, everyone's trying to scam someone, so of course you're an actress, because anybody can say that. It's not like if you're a thoracic surgeon and people are like, okay, where is your degrees? Like, where did you do med school? Where'd you do your residency? You don't have those kind of credentials as an actor, so you can kind of just say that. And I have friends who would just say that, so I understand it. But you're right. If you don't come out here with that mentality of like everything is a lie, then it's much harder. I had a guy once try to get me. He was telling me he was going to cast me in a movie that was already out. I'm like, bro, you know we got Google, right? Like, I can literally just
Google.
But
some people are that, like, wide-eyed. Really? And it's like, no, look up and see if that's a movie. But, like, you were smart enough to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm being judgy. No one has ever talked to me like that if I said I'm a writer.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I do. And I have a lot of friends who are writers, just because I realized that was a scam, too. It's like, if you got friends who are writers and they think about you and they write you in some stuff, and it's happened to me so many times.
It is a scam.
Yeah.
The whole industry. Yep.
Now, I became friends with them not knowing what they did, but later
of course, but that's, like, I literally talked to my little sister about this all the time, because I'm trying to like shepherd her into this industry, and I'm just like, this is the, like, everything here is bullshit. So if you are someone who knows how to talk bullshit, and I say that with the utmost respect,
like, but it is
much respect, big respect, and I'm coming from a political world, like, I'm coming from politics, and it's the same thing. So I'm just like, if you know how to talk your way into a room, which she does, I'm like, this is a perfect place for you, because it's not just about talent. It's also about being able to think your way through situations. And I feel like that's a scam.
And
that's
scamming.
How do you find the real in the world full of scams and bullshit?
Ooh.
It's easy. You know it when you see it. Mm-hmm. Like, people who really have something going on, first of all, are rarely trying to sell it to you, simply because they don't want to be taken advantage of by people. If they really got something going on, you'll see the proof will be in their work and in the pudding and the things that they do. It's the people who talk to you too much about what they got going on, what they doing and all that you have to be suspicious about. I mean, I remember when I first had an interview at a management company a few years back, and I was so, like, happy to be there and, like, really excited and, you know, trying to sell myself. But the key thing that I didn't have, and maybe that's why they didn't think I was legitimate, is you have to have a little bit of, like, I don't give a fuck mentality. Like, this could go, it could not go, I'm going to be fine either way. Because people smell desperation.
Yes.
That's what we call our despo meter. Like, everybody can get scammed. It just depends on how desperate you are.
Yep.
And sometimes you have to check in with yourself. And I think that works for relationships, for every aspect of your life. Like, if you really want something to happen, take a step back and be like, why do I want this to happen so bad? Is it because I'm unfulfilled in this part of my life? Is it because I feel like I haven't had a break in a long time? Like, or is it because I really want this specific thing?
How are you so wise? What's happening?
I don't know how old black grandma.
Oh, that's always nice.
And she actually, she's probably the reason I can survive in Hollywood.
Yes.
How so?
She kind of built me up. This sounds shady, but to be a black supremacist.
Tell me more. What is her name? Start with her name.
Her name is Mildred Faye Buckley. Mildred. Very country name, honey. Kemp, Texas, honey. We was barefoot country, running out in the fields and shit. And I remember one day, I don't know when, but I would sit at her coffee table in the kitchen, and sometimes she would let me have a little coffee. And I think I was like 8 at the time, so that was very exciting. And she told me, only black people are good at things.
Okay.
Sincerely.
I'm listening.
She was like, we're the most beautiful, we're the most talented, ooh, we're the best at math, we're the best singers, we're the best dancers. And I was pretty young at the time, so I just took it for face value. I was like, oh, yeah, only black people are good at things. And I'm a dark-skinned black woman, and this world is already so hard on us already. So I appreciated her trying to instill me with that confidence to believe that, like, I am the best. Like, I'm the best at everything. Now, I remember when reality kicked in, when I saw Christina Aguilera's single, Genie in a Bottle, and I was like, grandmama, she ain't black. I was like, she ain't black, she can sing. Like, I was genuinely confused when I saw her singing.
Well, what was your grandma's response?
I can't remember what her response was, but I think she just kind of like held steadfast to what she believed. But I mean, that was also because like she grew up in Jim Crow, and like my great grandparents were sharecroppers and then slaves. So, you know, nobody builds you up in the world, and you don't see yourself a lot, especially at that time. So it was so nice for someone to like older that I respected to tell me like it was law that I was superior.
Black people are the best at things. I'm never going to forget that. It's like a quote of the day.
I mean, I'm just going to soak in that we're black supremacy. And we're going to take a really quick break, and then we are going to come back and chat more with Lacey Mosley.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
We are back. What has their reaction been to you, A, taking this leap and moving to L.A., your success, but also your ownership of scamming the world?
I don't think they really realized how much scamming I was doing until the podcast came out. And then my mom was like, she listens every week, and she was like, you have got to stop cussing so much and stop saying organized religion is a scam. She was like, I got to go face people after you say that. And I was like, oh, look, God isn't a scam, but church is, okay? I'm sorry. But it can be a great scam. It can be a fun scam and a rewarding one, but still. So they were scared. My mom always believed in me, but she was always of the mindset that, like, you came in my life and not vice versa. So my mom was never going to drop all her life and go be a stage mom and live in a car or whatever the fuck to like build my career. Like she had a life, she was building a career of her own. So she was like, when you're an adult, you can actually go out and do this and we'll support you. My dad was always like, I don't want you fucking for parts. Like he was like, I don't want my daughter on the casting couch. He was like, we raised you better than like this. Because I guess in his mind, like acting was like this deplorable thing.
He saw fame.
Yeah. And I think it scarred him for life. And it takes time, too. So it's like, I'm telling them what's happening. And it's not, I was like, oh, I got on a Herald team at UCB. And it's like, what does that mean to anybody who doesn't live in that cult?
What has your first, like, series regular role been like? What's that experience been like?
It was amazing. And we go back in March. It's called Florida Girls. And we shoot in Savannah. And it was just a lot of really strong women. The conditions were rough. Like,
what is it like shooting in Savannah?
Yeah. Ooh, chast slavery.
Not Atlanta.
Had you ever been there since you're from Texas?
Yes, but only to Atlanta. I hadn't been to Savannah, which is a completely different vibe. And I will say, just to completely answer your question, when my parents first saw me in a movie in theaters, that was like my dad's, like, because my mom keeps up with my life a little more detailed work-wise than my dad. But for that, that was my dad, like, called me, like, super duper proud. It was just like, well, stay humble. So they support me fully. My dad just helped me buy my car. He did all the negotiating. I literally sat there on my phone. So he's amazing. But Savannah is like, if you go to a place and for some reason Strange Fruit is just played on repeat everywhere you go.
Ooh. Ooh.
It's a dark city. Like, it's beautiful, and they have this Spanish moss, which are those kind of like weepy trees. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of culture and history there, but it's all like slate. It's like chattel, you know what I mean? Mm. Like, because it was a big port and a big export and import for people. And there were a lot of nice, like, you know, hospitable people there, but it was just a lot of also racism. Mm. I got chased out of a bar the first weekend that we were there.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And then after this, I called my friends who went to SCAD, which is in Savannah, and I was like, where should I not go? What streets are not Gucci?
Damn.
And so,
what do you mean you got chased out of a bar?
Oh, this story is wild. Okay. So I go to this bar because, okay, we were at a park. It's our first weekend there. And somebody was like, oh, we should go to this bar. Like, I heard Gabourey Sidibe like this bar. And I'm like, okay, Gabourey Sidibe is black. Like, right? So I'm like, this is probably be a cute little bar. We get in there and everything's fine. Like, it's like a little country bar. And I go to the bathroom with my costume designer, and because I just needed to like touch my makeup up, so my face was getting oily. And these girls start banging on the door. And they're like, "Let us in. We need to pee." Blah blah blah. And so I'm like, "All right, let's just get out of here." So I'm assuming when I open the door, like, they're gonna calm all that down. So I open the door, and they're still yelling and turning up and cussing at me. And I had this little piece of tissue paper from dabbing my nose off, like my shiny nose. And I was really feeling myself. I should not have done this. And I just dropped it at her feet, and I was like, ugh. I can't walk it. Now I'm black, and I'm in Savannah.
I love it.
And I have dismissed these two white women, like, so disrespectfully.
Oh my God.
I didn't throw it. It was literally just a dropped it. And I was like,
you did something worse than throw it.
I know.
It's the God. Like, ugh.
Yeah,
makes it.
So I walk out, and then my costume designer at the time was a white woman. So I was like, oh, she's going to go diffuse this. Okay, cool, cool, cool. So she walks up to them, and she's like, oh, my gosh, guys, I'm sorry. We definitely weren't in there doing cocaine. And I turned around, and I was like, what? What? We weren't. I wasn't.
Why bring it up?
Right, exactly. It was an insane thing to say. So then at that point, I'm walking over to the table. I'm ready to check out, close out my tab. The two white women come out, and one of them is really, really drunk. And she's like, this bitch threw a bloody tampon at me. She done took it up to a 12. What? How would I even maneuver that? I'm not even. Anyway, so I was like, I gotta go. I gotta get the hell out of here because this is about to get real. I started noticing little racist art on the walls. So I run outside of the bar, and I'm waiting for my friends to close out their tabs. And the girl busts out the door with her friend. They're like, you threw a bloody tampon at us. You don't know me. She's like, I'm the mayor of this bar. And I was like, first of all, I don't think I ever want to be on any kind of like electoral
right.
for a bar. So I was like, I live in Los Angeles. Like, I don't care. Like, we good. And then I decide to hide around the corner until they're done. Cause I was like, at this point it's too hot. Why does this white man bust out the side of the restaurant or the bar? And he's like, you bitch, I'm from LA too. I'll fuck you up. Bruh.
All this just from leisurely dropping a tissue on the floor.
Okay. It's too much disrespect.
It's too much disrespect.
And I should have known better.
In Savannah, Georgia, for sure. Yeah.
I should have known better. So then next thing I know, I'm running through the park. Because I was like, I can't stay here.
And nobody else was with you?
No. Because I think they were still
terrifying.
Closing out.
Oh my
so
God.
I had to like text them and be like, hey, I'm in the park. Like, I had to get out of there because I didn't know how much further it was going to go.
Right.
But yeah. So there was moments like that.
And you're going back.
Yes.
Oh.
But I've learned how to navigate it. And there's some nice folks down there. It's not all bad.
It's not all, yeah. I'm sure they're beautiful. They're beautiful elements.
I'm trying to think.
I'm like Savannah,
is,
beautiful
the food
gals.
Is good, you know? I'm sure the food is delicious
in
Savannah.
The food's great. The sights are great. The water's beautiful. Yeah.
As your profile continues to rise, both with like the podcast and the series, how do you find the way, I think especially if you're known as a scam goddess, the way that you like interact with like other, do you feel like people treat you differently when they interact with you out of fear of being scammed? Like whether you're like dating or meeting new people, have you noticed a change since your profile's risen, especially being called the scam goddess?
Dating is interesting, but that's just because dating in LA is interesting in
general.
Tell
us about it.
You already know.
I don't. Yeah. It's one of the reasons why I thought about moving to LA, and all of my black girlfriends that live here was just like, you'll never go on a date again.
Honey.
And I was like, whoa. Not that I'm going on dates now, but anyway.
My two friends, well, my girlfriend and her boyfriend at the time from D.C. came to visit me, and I took them to Yezebel, which is like almost West Hollywood. So they get out of the car together, and I guess they hold hands while the valet like takes their car away. And I kid you not, someone from across the street was like, okay, black love.
Because it's rare.
And she's from DC, so she was like, I don't understand why they shouted that at me. And I was like, girl, Los Angeles. Not it. Not it for us.
You don't see it.
You don't see it.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because 82% of black marriages are to black people. But yes. It's on the coast that it gets a little more dicey.
It gets down to like 2%.
Ugh. How do you navigate that?
I don't know, truly. I kind of have been dating everybody, but I will say when I am dating a white man, there's so many more challenges.
What are they?
One, having to explain things that you just don't have to explain when you're dating a black person. And then, you know, also like, you know, sucking white dick, like that's slavery. So, you know?
Oh, God.
I'll be down there just thinking about...
I hope your mom doesn't Sojourner listen to this
Truth.
Podcast.
I'll be down there thinking about Sojourner and everything she did for us.
Like, everyone who came before us, you know?
I'll be thinking about all of them, and I just know they're frowning on me.
That pink in your face.
Oh, like, Lord.
And also the crimes in that white man's family.
Oh, so many crimes.
Oh, my God. Sucking white dick is slavery.
I mean,
again, let's write that down. Let's write that down. We need to make t-shirts.
I mean, it's real.
It's
but
true.
Like, every now and then I meet a black man, but it's been hard to find one who's like, I'm in the in-between of like black men who are like, I just got a Lambo, I'm so busy. Mm-hmm. Or black men who are like, I'm, you know, a writer and I'm working a lot, but I also am not ready. Like, that's where I'm at right now.
I think LA is, it's too much of a work town. Like, it's the kind of work. LA feels very much like DC to me. Like, LA and DC are so similar to me. It's why I like New York so much better, because there's just a lot of industries. Whereas LA is just like, this is one giant industry,
right,
and everyone's doing the same thing. And it's a very specific kind of job that requires a lot, and it attracts very similar kinds of people. So you don't have enough diversity of anything, of background, of job, of all kinds of things. And I'm just like, that's what helps you find a bae, I think. You know what I mean? But I'm just like, that's why this place is tough, because it's real out here. Like, you really do have to hustle, and people really aren't ready, and you really do have to focus.
And then I think colorism takes a huge factor into it, too.
Yes.
Like, just from being a dark-skinned black woman who has a lot of lighter-skinned friends, whenever we would go places, and we were always, like, with athletes and high-profile people and stuff, and it was always kind of like I was just ignored because I wasn't thought of as, like, a trophy or anything special to black men, sadly. And then that kind of has permeated into all aspects of the industry. Like, unfortunately, I feel like too many black men who are in this industry, especially if they're successful, are looking for a light-skinned woman, a light woman or a white woman, and that's not me. So
right.
Then it's like, where do I go? How do I fit in? And it's also hard because you don't want to cast anybody off. Like, you don't ever want to meet a black man and be like, oh, you're not going to be interested in me. Like, you have to be open to everybody, even if the outcome is the same a lot.
But what are you looking for in a dude then, aside from a black man, aside from him being black?
Which that door is still kind of open. Look, I might have to go back to the plantation. Look, you gotta just find love where you can find it. But Serena did it. She looks really happy. The babies are cute. I'm looking for somebody who's established.
Hmm. See, this is going to be a tough one.
Yeah.
That first one is tough.
I know. Or on the cusp. Mm-hmm. So for me, like, because I think there are still things that I need to do to establish myself. Like, I don't own a home, you know?
So but, let's define establish then.
Okay.
Because I did not think a home was a part of it. Yeah. So let's
define
it. Oh,
it's not necessarily. Yeah. It's not necessarily. It's financially stable, emotionally well, or at least in therapy or doing whatever it takes to get yourself.
Yes.
Emotionally well. It's not like, and also emotionally well isn't a state of being. Life, it oscillates, so we're constantly having to like overcome challenges and build up the tools for the next challenge. So it's just someone who's constantly like thoughtful about, you know, their own self-care and their own mental health, because I'm about to be your therapist.
Right.
Also just someone who's like kind and normal. Normal.
High bar.
I know.
High bar, low
you're
bar.
Asking for a lot. You're asking for a lot. She said kind and normal, and I was like, I don't know.
You're like, just the basics are too much.
Yeah, sadly.
The bar is the floor.
We've said that on this podcast before. Yeah, we've said that on this podcast
before. You've got a job? It's part-time, that's okay.
Truly, you're asking for someone who has a job and is emotionally well.
Is emotionally well.
Nice.
Girl, I woke up in the bed with him the next morning, and all the contents of my purse was still there.
Have you met anybody here that has been even close? Have you met anybody here that has been even close?
No. I've been single for 7 years.
Okay.
Which is getting to that point where I was like, I was working so hard that I didn't care. And then I woke up this year and was like, I want to find a man. And so it's been like a little mission of mine. I've been doing it for 6 months.
How have you been doing it?
I'm getting tired now.
Are you like on the apps? Are you just like going out places?
Well, my mom always told me that I was emotionally unavailable. She was like, you're unavailable. And I was like, what do you mean? She was like, I've gone to industry parties with you and watched people flirt with you, and you are all business. And I was like, but we were at an industry party. I thought we were talking
business.
This
is business.
Yeah.
See, this is the other thing that I think is weird about LA, because the lines are constantly blurred. There's no real, like, you could be at a work party, but it's not ever real work.
Yeah.
You know, like, whereas if we were like in a real office or something like that, we would know where the line is. And
exactly.
Here it's like, you don't know.
Well, my mom was like, single people are looking for people everywhere they go.
Yes.
She was like, your head's on a swivel wherever when you're single. And I was like, what? Everywhere?
Yes.
And so then for the past 6 months, I've been like, okay. Uh-huh. You know, like, and I've gone on some good dates. I've gone on a lot of good dates with one person in particular, and then found out that they were just not ready to be in a relationship, which I always say, with you is the silence.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, like, okay, fine, bruh. You can watch this glow up and be mad just like the guy who didn't date Beyonce. Like, what are you doing with your life? But we're still friends.
Ugh. How you navigating that?
And then there's other guys who like are very successful but like not available as much, or like they're going off out of town to shoot, I'm going out of town to shoot, alternate times. It's hard. It hasn't been easy. It's been a little fun, but not always fun.
You're very mature and wise.
Oh, thank you.
Like that, what you just said about being friends with that guy. That
it does feel weird to be able to compartmentalize like that, though. And it is hard at times.
How did you get to the place that you could do that?
I think because my ambition has always trumped my emotions.
Hmm.
Like, I'll get over something if it means that I'm going to put myself in a more successful place. Now, but that's not necessarily true for everything. I think there are lines of disrespect that people cross where it's like, I don't give a fuck what you do or how much money you make or how you could help me. Like, my self-respect isn't going to allow me to fraternize with you. But I think that if it's like, oh, this isn't the right time, I'm not going to blow you off or be mad at you for that. I think that's an ego thing, too, that I really had to put down, which was like, I've met people in my life that, like, we dated or whatever, and I wasn't interested in being in the relationship, and they were. And everybody plays the fool. So if that happens to me, I'm not going to take it like, oh, something's wrong with me, or, oh, this person doesn't think that I'm great. It's just that it just didn't work.
Where does this drive come from that you talk about, this ambition?
I think the drive came from, like, I was my mom's first kid, and she had me really young, and I know my mother didn't necessarily want children, and I always kind of wanted to be like, oh, look at that miracle that you had. It's like you had the most important child, which my mom's never put on me. Like, my mom is so kind and so supportive, but I don't know. I've just always wanted to be the best.
What is your secret?
My secret is I try to be kind to myself. as much as possible. And by that I mean, I think that everyone, and we all know for a fact, everyone has insecurities. And those bubble up inside of me on a daily. And I've always known how to kind of chastise them away. How to be like, you are young, you are beautiful, you are powerful. And if you, you in 40 years would be so mad at you right now for even trying to nitpick something like this. You are so grateful. And that kind of like affirmation of like continuing to build myself up. Or if I feel myself being nervous about something, I'm like, where are these nerves coming from? Because I was always taught nerves are the devil. It's like trying to steal your joy. And they're also your ego, because now you're more worried about what other people think of you than what you have to offer. So, and I guess I mean that more in a respect of like auditions or performing or doing stuff like that. Like, I've always been able to kill the nerves by pushing myself to be more in tuned with the gift that I'm trying to give people and that I was born to give people. So every day I've kind of gotten myself up, and even on the low days, and there have been some low days, and encouraged myself to realize how incredibly blessed and lucky that I am. And then I will also say I exfoliate and moisturize daily.
Well, that sounds amazing. What a word.
Y'all, Lacey Mosley.
Lacey Mosley.
Scam goddess. Where can we get all the information about everything about you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, all the things.
All the things. If you can watch my Instagram, my stories are daily and pretty insane. That's at DIVALACI, Diva Lacey, on all platforms, including Twitter. Scam Goddess Pod is on Earwolf, and you can listen to that wherever you download your podcast. And scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. If you have any scams that you've retired, because we don't want to mess your bag up, but you want to share them with me, email me at scamgoddesspod@gmail.com or follow us at that same handle on every platform.
Thank you. I love you your so podcast much. Voice. Yeah. I love it turned on, and I love it so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys are incredible. For having me.
Yes, you're the best. Thanks, Lacey. Why am I so surprised that she was so wise?
I don't know why you're so surprised.
I don't know why. I'm just like, black women are wise, right?
Just like, so wise. Also, just such good energy radiates off her. Like, you ever someone, like, walks in a room and you're just like, yes, this energy, come through. I want to, like, soak it up.
She made me want to, like, put a face on before I walk out into the world. Just, like, put on a good red lip. Like, you guys can't see Lacey, but she was, like, stunning. Like, she had, like, a gorgeous red lip, a beautiful dress on, a blazer.
But just also a warmth.
And a beautiful spirit.
A beautiful spirit. She also said so many gems that, like, makes me. I can't. I wrote some down. Wait to leave the studio and journal.
Here's a big one. Sucking white dick is slavery.
Sucking white dick is slavery.
Underline.
I fell out on the floor.
Yeah.
When she said that.
I did. Because it made so much sense.
Yes. Like, yes. Yes, it is. I was like, holy shit, can I see it?
Yes. Also, black people are the best at things. Yes.
Black people are the best at things. Oh my gosh, she's so funny. I just want her to have all the things, all the happiness, all the success, all the love.
But you know what? I kind of wanted some of what she got.
Me too.
I was like, how do I get some of this?
Can you teach a seminar, Lacey?
Teach a seminar about ego and not taking things personally and being kind to yourself.
Being kind to yourself.
When she said that, I got chills.
That chills. That's my word of the week. Like,
same.
Just that whole
number one, same
word of the week is that I try to be kind to myself as much as possible. I was having a conversation with my friend Robbie, and she was like, can you please stop talking about my friend like that? Because if anybody else talked about like you the way you talked about yourself, if someone talked about me the way you talk about yourself, you would be so angry. And I was like, oh shit, the level of kindness that I display to other people, I'm not
displaying to yourself.
Displaying to myself. And just, this was another, just a really good reminder.
You know, another thing she said that was so, like, that hit home and gave me chills was, when you're 40, you're going to be mad at yourself for thinking that way and doing that to yourself. You're young and you're beautiful and you're talented. And I was just like, yeah. I will be mad that I wasted time when I'm 40.
This is the thing. I get mad. I look at pictures of myself in my 20s, right? And I'd be so mad at like little early 20s Lauren for like not being in these streets and just like owning shit.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have any confidence and I didn't feel like I was cute. And I look at pictures back then and I'm like, I peaked. I was my most cute. What's happening? And then a friend once was like, do you realize that like in 3 years you're going to look at yourself now because you're still doing the same shit.
You're still doing the same shit.
And you're going to be like, I peaked. I peaked.
I loved it. So the word of the week is be kind to yourself.
That is a phrase, and we know that. Be kind to yourself. Sucking white dick is slavery,
and black people are the best.
The best. Gems. Quotes to live by. Make your screensaver on your computer. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always.
Yeah.
We appreciate you.
Bye-bye. We are your hosts, Sharla Lauriston
and Lauren Domino.
The Secret Lives of Black Women is a production of Stitcher.
Our producer is Stephanie Kariuki.
Our editor is Gianna Palmer.
The show is recorded and mixed by Andy Christens.
Special thanks to our chief content officer, Chris Bannon, and to Brendan Burns, who made our theme music.
Make sure you follow us on Instagram and Twitter at the SLBW. See you later.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.